This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we are brought to you each and every week by Insperity right here on SB Nation Radio. And if you're listening to us in Houston, you're listening on the all-new Crystal Clear FM Sports Map 94.1. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie will join us in just about 6 minutes from now. He is in the Dominican Republic once again. Bill Harmon will join us in about 6 minutes as well. We got a lot to get into today. Rory McIlroy's looking to have a bounce-back year. He announced his pre-master schedule. Remember this year, Rory dropped from number 2 in the world entering the season to number 10 in the world. He missed time twice this year. He was dealing with a rib injury and even cut his season short due to that rib injury. He's going to play in 7 events before the Masters and then try to get the only major that Rory McIlroy does not own right now. He's won the PGA Championship. He's, of course, won the U.S. Open, and he's, of course, won the Open Championship to complete the career Grand Slam. He just has to pull off that Masters win. I know I say it like that, just pull off that Masters win, but that's what Rory will be looking for this year. Also, Sergio Garcia was named the European Golfer of the Year, won the Masters, of course. He said this week, quote, "I think both on and off the golf course, it's been a unique and unbelievable year and one that I will definitely remember my whole life." Now, remember, before this, it was 5 straight years of either Henrik Stenson or Rory McIlroy being the European Player of the Year. So a little bit different there from Sergio. So we'll get the thoughts from Bill and Charlie on that. Who do they expect to be the European Player of the Year in 2018? And what kind of year do you expect from Sergio Garcia, of course, after winning his first major championship last year? So it's going to be interesting to see what Sergio does. Melbourne in Australia will host the World Cup of Golf. That'll be in 2018, of course. So we'll get some thoughts from Charlie and Bill on that. And how about Tiger Woods? Last week, Saturday, a little tough for Tiger. Shot a 75. But overall, I think you would consider Tiger's weekend coming back at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas a success. But there's one famous former player that had some comments about Tiger that weren't exactly complimentary in nature. Taking a little shot at Tiger and telling everybody, maybe you should cool the jets. Maybe you should pump the brakes a little bit on this Tiger Woods return. We'll get into all that in just a little bit. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's right here on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on Sports Map 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, some would say that we're a national show, but we're actually an international show today. Charlie, where are you coming from today?
We are live from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, at the Casa Magna Marriott. One of my favorite weeks of the year. I'm down here celebrating the end of this year and all the good things have happened, playing golf and eating great food, great hospitality. It's a nice place to be, and the weather's perfect.
Hey, Bill, does anybody have a better travel schedule than Charlie Epps right now?
I'd be like Charlie, but I got a lot of growing up to do.
All right, guys. Hey, let's start off from what we were talking about for the majority of the show last week, and that was Tiger Woods. 8 under, he tied for 9th. Ricky Fowler was excellent, shot 18 under par, shot 61 on Sunday to Ricky Fowler. Tiger went like this, 69, 68, then that 75 on Saturday and a 68. And Greg Norman had this to say this week. Being a power player, your body breaks down, and that's going to continue to be there because he just got ready to play one event, which was an 18-man field. When you start getting up to 156-man fields and the golf courses are a little bit more difficult, a lot more rough out there, he's got to manage his expectations. Instead of trying to power a 7-iron under the rough 220 yards, your body may. You do that a few times, you never know what's going to happen after that. So, Charlie, what did you make of Greg Norman's comments this week?
Well, I thought they were spot on. You know, I got caught up in the happiness or in the fury of Tiger coming back and wanting him to come back. But, you know, Greg Norman is more realistic. He knows what happens to your body at being a professional golfer, and he went through it. So, and it's not to say that Tiger's not going to have a good year, but we just got to give him more time.
Yeah, certainly. Hey, and Bill, you were out in front of this last week. Now, Charlie and myself, we were really excited in studio last week after what Tiger had done on Thursday and Friday. Saturday, he has that bit of a struggle where he puts up the 75, plays well on Sunday. But what did you make of what Greg Norman said this week?
Well, you know, I did say last week that we need to temper this a tad and think about how it would relate to a 156-man field. I think Greg made a lot of really, really good points. We don't know how much Tiger can play or practice yet. He certainly seems to be enamored with his distance again, and that always makes me a little bit nervous coming back from four back surgeries. But if I were in Tiger's camp and if I were Tiger Woods, I would be very, very encouraged by the quality of shots that he hit last week. So other than really a 10-hole bad stretch in the middle of the tournament, he really played very, very well. And coming back from all the stuff he's been through, I think he really did terrifically. So if I was him, I'd be encouraged, but as a fan, I still want to see him play in a full field event on a real golf course, and Torrey Pines will be that if that's where he starts.
Yeah, so Charlie, we haven't been able to really react to what Tiger did last week. We were coming in after the Thursday and the Friday where he played pretty well, the struggle on Saturday, of course, that we alluded to. So if you had to put a letter grade on what Tiger Woods did last week in his comeback, hadn't played in something like 300 days, what would you give him for a grade?
Well, I think for the whole week I'd give him a B+. I think, you know, the comeback on Sunday, 68 with 31 going out on the first nine holes, shows again that he's there, that he's has the wherewithal to win on the PGA Tour. I'm not sure he can win a major, but I think he shows that, you know, he's going to have one of those special weeks. Johnny Miller won, you know, well after he had retired, and he came out of retirement and won. So it's all very positive, and I'm really happy for him.
What about you, Bill?
I'd give him a solid A. I think that he did so many things well. You know, one thing that I did see, I think twice he went out in 31 and then came back poorly, which told me that he still has to get his nerves under control. But those are good problems to have, you know, how to manage going out in 31. So all in all, like I said, I think if I was Tiger or I was in his camp, I'd be over the moon encouraged about what I saw last week. But once again, I'm a little bit in Greg's court that we got to see him play in a full field on a tough course, you know, where the competition is biting at him a little bit more. And I think Torrey Pines, if that's where he does make his debut, that should really tell us quite a bit, because that's a long, hard course, and they've toughened the north course there, and it's usually rough, and it's relatively tight. So I think that would be a better barometer of where he is than it was in Albany. But I give him an A last week.
Oh, well, that's a good launching point, Bill, because you heard what Greg Norman said, the comments about the age and whatnot, and Tiger, of course, is an older player on the tour right now, and you guys have both had experience with this type of thing. So, Charlie, if you were in Tiger Woods' corner and you're getting ready, of course, for the Masters a couple of months down the road, what would a schedule look like for Tiger Woods? How often would he be playing? Is he somebody where you got to temper him and kind of hold him back a little bit so he doesn't wear out because of the advanced age?
Yes, I think, you know, 14 tournaments to 15 tournaments is going to be a lot. And then he's going to have to pick areas where the weather is better, where it's not too cold. I think, you know, the last week in the Bahamas, you know, he had good weather, but playing, you know, Torrey Pines at 7:30 in the morning in San Diego can be, you know, it can be 48 degrees. And having his medical problems, cold is not his friend. He's got to pick some more, you know, more events in the summer to really be able to start coming back correctly, I believe.
Bill, what about you? What would you do with Tiger?
Well, I think his health is going to dictate that. If his health is good, I'd like to see him play more, just so, as Charlie knows, you've got to figure out your nerves, and all that stuff takes a little while to kind of re-coordinate. So if his health is good, I'd like to see him play a little more leading into the Masters, not less, because I still think he he has to get more tournament ready, and the only way to do that is to play in tournaments, but I'm sure it's going to be predicated by his back. And I think Charlie brought up a good point about the weather. And San Diego is pretty cold in early February. I got news for you in the morning. It's not warm out there, and it's right on the ocean, that cool breeze, and it's usually foggy and kind of wet. So I think that's a very valid point that Charlie brought up, as much as I hate to agree with him.
By the way, Bill.
New Year's resolution, Charlie.
We got to keep it interesting, but time will only tell, and it's going to be fun. It's going to add a lot to the golf, and it's going to bring a lot more eyes to the game by television because Tiger's around. So 2018 could be a great year for golf.
Yeah, Charlie, you got a big interview coming up in just a couple of minutes here, but before that, just real quickly. Melbourne has been announced as the host city for the World Cup of Golf. That'll be in 2018. World Cup organizers noted that 17 of the world's top 50 golfers, including Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, and Ricky Fowler, contested in the previous edition, of course, of the World Cup of Golf. But I'm interested because it seems like on paper that this is a pretty cool event where you have guys teaming up, two young players you could have. Charlie, with the way that the golfing world right now, where you get a lot of friendships, the Justin Thomases and the Jordan Spieths of the world. We know Ricky Fowler is friends with pretty much everybody on the tour. Could those kind of bonds sort of make this event more interesting? Is there because on paper it looks like it could be interesting. Is there a way to make this more interesting?
Sure. This tournament was started in 1953 in Canada. It used to be called the Canadian Cup, and now it's a world championship. So it's a great event. It's been overshadowed by the majors, and you got the World Golf Championships, and now you have the Olympics. But I still think that there's still room for this type of event where two individuals represent their country, and they go to great golf courses, and Royal Melbourne is a wonderful place to play golf. So I think it has its place in the game, and it does create a lot of relationships that are always everlasting, and that's where Gary Player and Arnold Palmer and Nicklaus early on became friends in the World Cup. I saw Sam Snead and Arnold Palmer in Argentina in 1961 play in the World Cup there. So it's a great event, and I like it. I like it a lot. I actually caddied in it in 1971 for De Vicenzo in West Palm Beach. So I got a special place for this event.
What about you, Bill? Do you enjoy it? Is there something we can do to make it more interesting? Because like I was saying, I mean, it seems intriguing if you just look at what the criteria of the tournament is.
Well, it used to be a big deal, and now it isn't, unfortunately. You know, the game has changed so much. There's so much money involved in golf today that, you know, when Arnold and Jack played, they probably could use the money if they won. And nowadays, you know, with the top players, it's hard to put up a purse that's going to get them to blink. So, and with the fact that there's really no off-season anymore in golf, the players really aren't looking to add, you know, trips to Australia to their itinerary unless there's a pretty good appearance fee. So I think it's possible with the friendship of like a Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas that maybe they would play together, but I still don't see it picking up a whole lot of steam given the fact that there's no off-season golf and the players make an inordinate amount of money if they're top players.
Yeah, would that be your ideal pairing, Bill, if we could see two Americans play together? Would it be Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth?
Well, I think they have a wonderful history together as kids. I still, one of my favorite pictures of the 2017 season was he and Spieth and Thomas here, I think, eating a hot dog or something together when they were about 10 years old. I think it's one of the really, really great pictures I've ever seen in golf. So I would love to see them play together because I think they truly are very, very good friends and both great, great players.
All right, Charlie, before we move on, how about who would you like to see paired up together if you had two American players? And then tell us about the interview you're about to do.
Well, I like the pairing that Billy was just talking about, the Jordan Spieth and Thomas. They're young kids. It's a great story, so I'd like to see that. You know, one of the best pairings was Fred Couples and Davis Love. They won it five times in a row. So But having said that, yes, we're going to interview the director of operations down here at the Marriott Hotel that hosts over almost 400,000 people a year. Can you imagine having 400,000 people come into your house every year, and you got to feed them and you got to make sure they're happy? Well, they just do a wonderful job, and we'll get into more information from Fred Reese, the director of operations for Casa Magna Marriott in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
All right, we're looking forward to it, Charlie. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we'll send it out to Charlie, who's with a very special guest. Hey, Charlie.
Thank you very much, Brian. Yes, we're at the Casa Magna Marriott in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, one of my favorite places to come and visit every year. With us this morning is Fred Reese, who is the director of operations for the hotel. But you've also lived all over the world working in hotels, correct?
Yes, I have. I've been lucky to live in different countries and plus different back home states.
How do you like living here in Puerto Vallarta?
Can't complain, man. I was in Denver, Chicago, and now I'm over here. The weather's a little different, but I love it.
A little different. It's perfect. Now, yeah. You host 30,000 people a month, and, you know, it's just incredible the staff that you put together. The Mexican people here at the hotel are so wonderful. I've been coming here for 28 years, and I know a lot of them. So how do you train them?
I think basically, first of all, Marriott is very high on training our associates. I think that's why we're so successful as a company, because the way of doing business is we take care of our associates and they'll take care of the guests. So that's one key of it.
So that's the hospitality, but then you're constantly updating your hotel, remodeling it, new features, because you have so many people return. Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, first of all, you know, when you're in this business, you have to keep your product fresh, you know, with the new things every year. I think that's one of the reasons that we're a great company, because we're always trying to find different ways to improve our areas. In this hotel, we add a new restaurant to our portfolio. Now we got 5, sitting and having 4. I think that's one key. And then we decided to go with ceviche and tequila bar, which we know tequila is one of the highlights of Jalisco. And then we decided to pair those together. And we got such a great menu came out. And plus, we moved the lobby. We kind of remodeled the lobby and do some new items and new stuff in there. And, I mean, it looks unbelievable. I mean, plus the view of it is just you can sit down and enjoy a nice ceviche made freshly with a nice tequila in your hand. And just look at the ocean, and you can't be that.
That's what I've been doing all week long. But then you have the spa. You have a lot of activities for ladies.
Exactly.
And then the city of Puerto Vallarta has grown just really quickly in these last 30 years, and it's all hospitality. The airport is perfect. Access to downtown Puerto Vallarta. The city is working together. All the hotels work together.
Yes, we have, Charlie. We've been lucky again. Vallarta has been growing for the past 20 years. Well, this is my 12th year in Vallarta. And again, the past 12 years since I arrived, you know, it has grown. I mean, unbelievable. It's just so fast. But again, for the past 2 years and this year, Vallarta has increased her airlift 12% of this, which that's a great sign for Vallarta. And for us, that meaning that we're going to have more tourists coming down and see us. And then you're right. Vallarta is one of the most friendly city that you ever want to be in. I think last year we got the award for being the most friendly city in Mexico in the entire country.
And I can see that. And now you have Southwest Airlines that comes to Puerto Vallarta daily. You have United. You have all the major airlines that have access to this wonderful facility and the beach. And there are miles and miles of just perfect ocean. It's oceanfront property. It's, and then the golf courses. There's so many golf courses now that we played together at the Nicholas course and the Weisskopf course up on the mountain. But then there's a Norman course down by Punta Mitas, and there's just so many other resorts that, you know, people can come to visit.
I think one of the highlights, again, that Vallarta is focused on is in golf, because golf is one of the reasons that we get a lot of visitors, because golf has been, again, it has grown, you know, as they build new courses and all that. And you're right, we played this past week. Thank you for being so patient with us, Charlie. He was our coach, so I'm sure he was wondering what was going on. But anyway, again, Vallarta, our main focus in the next couple of years is golf, because I think we feel we can have more tourists come down and play golf down here in Punta Mita and Vallarta. But slowly, we're going to push that. And then, again, the airport is very, you know, we're only like about 3 minutes away from the airport, which is, that's very
unique.
And plus it's an advantage to us. So
all of our listeners, just go on to Marriott.com, punch in Puerto Vallarta, and get the information. And you're going to be amazed on all the activities they have down here in the city of Puerto Vallarta, the great hotels. And like, you know, we're standing here with the Marriott, but they encourage everybody to come down and see everything.
Exactly.
So I can't recommend a better place in December or any part of the year to come and visit. That's just what it's all about. And have fun. We're down here playing in the International Pro-Am put on by Billy Sitton from Houston, Texas. It's been a success for 28 years. We have over, you know, 500 golfers this week. It's good business for you guys. We've had a lot of tequila.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some ceviche and guacamole, but good golf, friendly people. And Brian, I hope to get you down here one of these years.
Hey, that would be nice, Charlie. Anytime you give me the invite, I'm coming with you.
I've been trying to get Billy, but Billy is, you know, he's there in Palm Springs. That's where Fred worked for Marriott for many years, Bill. But this is almost like Palm Springs, but we have the ocean. You have the mountains.
He certainly does. And, Charlie, Bill's going to rejoin us in about 6 minutes from now.
You got any questions for my man here, for Fred?
Hey, what's it like working with Charlie down there?
I can't say in the radio, but no. No, you know what? It has been amazing. He's very real, easygoing. It's unbelievable. He's very friendly. I can see why everyone knows him, and plus, he's just a great human being.
Well, we played with his boss,
general manager,
and he's in charge of 5 hotels.
Yes, yes.
So you're mainly in charge of this one. He takes care of the other 4, right?
Kinda. He travels a lot. He oversees 5 different hotels. So, but yeah, I kind of run the show here.
And Brian, here at Puerto Vallarta, they have also a lot of activities for children. Everything is around the children that come here. The swimming pools, the playing on the beach. You can go horseback riding up in the mountains. You can go deep sea fishing. That's one of the great sports out here. You know, the marlin off of the coast. So I mean, it just goes on and on. If people want to spend their dollars for recreation, this is a great place to be.
And Charlie, we got about 45 seconds left to work with here, so I just want to check in on this. I mean, we in Houston locally, we're dealing with snow yesterday. Today you have to scrape off your car from the ice. So what kind of temperatures can we expect this time of the year?
But down here this time of the year, it's 80 degrees to 83 degrees. It's perfect sunshine. Yesterday was a little cloudy, but other than that, I figure I've been here over 1,000 days, and I might have had maybe a week of iffy weather in December. So that's an indication, and it's beautiful all year long.
All right, that sounds fabulous. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us, guys, and it was really great information, and I kind of want to go now just to get out of the cold.
You got it. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
I'll be in studio next week.
All right, Charlie. All right, you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on Sports Map 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie, I don't know if you're some kind of weatherman or something, but the one weekend in Houston, or Friday into Saturday, that it's actually cold and it's snowing in this town, somehow you found a way out.
Yes, I avoided the snow. My wife sent me some nice pictures, yes, I've been very lucky to be down here in the 80-degree weather.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Kind of jealous of you right now, Charlie. Hey, guys, let's move on to Sergio Garcia. He was named the European Golfer of the Year. Of course, he won the Masters, that unbelievable tournament where him and Justin Rose were going back and forth. It was really, really entertaining on that Sunday. And he said this week, I think both on and off the golf course, it's been a unique and unbelievable year, and one that I will definitely remember my whole life. And it was five straight years before that the European Player of the Year had either been Henrik Stenson or Rory McIlroy. Henrik Stenson, of course, ninth in the world now. Rory is at 10. But, Charlie, let's start it off with Sergio Garcia. After what he did last year, taking home that first major championship, what do you expect from him this year?
Well, you know, his whole career has been, you know, very, very fun to watch. I mean, he came, you know, to the golf game and professional golf when he was 19 years old. He almost won the PGA fighting against Tiger Woods. But then over the years, he's had different types of mental problems, you might say, or maturity problems. And finally, now in his 30s, he's reached a level where he's married, he's really content. And I think he can have a couple of really good years coming, moving forward, because he's never really been hurt. He still hits the ball a long ways. He's an adequate putter, and he loves the game. So I think he's going to have a good year in 2018 and maybe 19 and 20. So I really like the kid, and I wish him all the luck in the world.
Bill, what do you think? A good year for Sergio Garcia in 2018?
Well, I think one of the interesting things you said early on is the last five players of the year, either Rory or Stenson. Now you add Sergio in there. You know, Sergio and Stenson are two of the older players, so it's interesting that two of the older players have dominated, let's say, the last 6 years on tour. I think a lot of it has to do with his motivation and desire. You know, the fact that you said he's had such a great year on and off the course, his comfort zone must be pretty good. Will that inspire him to play better, or will he say, is this all there is, and maybe not work as hard? So a lot of times success makes people, I don't know if softer is the right word, but maybe just less focused. So, and then other times people get addicted to that great play and they work harder. So I don't really know what to expect from Sergio this year, and if he did decide maybe not to play as much and enjoy life a little bit more, it wouldn't bother me one bit. But it's hard to stay on top, as Charlie knows, and it's now we have expectations. You know, when he won the Masters, no one was talking about Sergio, and now we are talking about him again. So it'll be interesting to see how he holds up in the limelight, under the pressure, because at times he can get a little bit testy when he gets cornered.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Bill, because last year was kind of a shocker that Sergio actually won the major, and now it's going to be like we have more expectations for him once again like he had earlier in his career when he continued to come up short. You mentioned the age of Henrik Stenson. He's now 41. Rory McIlroy, of course, he's trying to make his way back into being an elite player, dropped from 2 to 10 this year. So who do you guys is more likely to be the European Player of the Year between those two this year, Stenson or Rory?
Well, we're all hoping for Rory to come back. You know, he's had kind of a lull the last couple of years because of injuries, and his putter's kind of gone south on him, and he's changed caddies, and he's, you know, changed equipment. And so maybe he's got himself in a better situation. He's taken a lot of time off. Maybe he's healthy now, and he can get back to where he everybody thought he was going to be. He was the heir apparent to be the number one player for a long time. So he's got the game. I think he has the desire now. So now he's putting together a very aggressive schedule leading up to the Masters, because if he wins the Masters, he completes the Grand Slam, which is a great accomplishment for a professional golfer. So we'll see. And I think he's going to have a good year.
What about you, Bill? Stenson or Rory?
What? I think Rory. I think his schedule is kind of interesting to me that he's going to play two tournaments over kind of in Dubai and then skip the World Golf event. I found that quite interesting. But, you know, to me the big question mark with Rory is his putting. And very, very, very few great, great players have gone through as many putting changes as he has. As a pretty young man, I might add. And so it's hard to be a great player and not be a great putter. But his upside is probably bigger than anybody playing the game today, his natural ability and his just the gifts that he has as a golfer. So his upside is probably the highest of anybody playing golf today. But it's hard to play so good to overcome bad putting in this day and age because there's too many good putters. So to me, the schedule looks good. I'd love to see Rory back in the mix. Hopefully the four or five guys that have been beating him here on a consistent basis are inspiring him. But once again, we're talking about a young kid that's made an awful lot of money, and you wonder about the hunger issue, and can you muster it up? Because with great players, it comes naturally, I think. And I remember Byron Nelson said he quit playing the tour when he had to try.
That's funny. Hey, Bill, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Rory's schedule, and right now he says he's got to play seven times prior to Augusta and then take 2 weeks off before the tournament. So you guys have both been involved in this process. For listeners that may not be aware of how exactly this works, I'm interested in this too. We'll start with you, Charlie. How do golfers plan their schedules leading up to the first major tournament of the year? How do you go about that?
Well, number one, you try to pick the courses that you really like and enjoy. They're independent contractors. They don't have to go to a golf course that you've never had success at. So that's number one. They're going to pick the courses where they had success. Number two, in Rory's case, they're going to pick a couple courses where they're going to be paid a lot of money to show up, and those are the Dubai. They can still do that in Europe. The other thing is depending on how you start, you might add or subtract also. You got Phil Mickelson, who likes to play for a major championship. Nicholas never played the week before the Masters, I don't believe, Bill. So it's a personal like and dislike of golf courses and how they're feeling. And the schedule is just they can alter it whenever they want, depending on how they're playing.
Bill, anything to add to that?
I think it's interesting that Brian thought that playing seven tournaments in the next 4 months is an aggressive schedule leading up to the Masters. So I think that's how much the game has changed. You know, that's about two tournaments a month, and that's an aggressive schedule for a young player. So I sometimes wonder about these players that don't play themselves into shape more. But like Charlie said, you know, they're independent contractors. They can make their own schedule, but I'm very surprised that seven tournaments in the next 4 months would be considered an aggressive schedule.
And, Bill, do you think guys playing less nowadays is because of the fact that there's way more money involved than there ever was before?
I don't think there's any question about it. And plus, you know, we alluded to earlier in the show, there's really not an off season. So I don't know. It just seems like They make so much money, that's great, but they just don't play as much as they used to, it seems like. And, you know, in Rory's case, he's playing in, like Joey said, those two tournaments in Dubai because he's getting paid. That's an awful long way to go when you've got all that kind of money. This is the same guy that said $10 million wasn't that much of a carrot for him for the FedEx Cup a few years ago. So you wonder how much you're paying him.
Yeah, he is in a weird spot right now. At times, it seems like some of the comments he makes, it's almost like Rory McIlroy, for somebody that's won a bunch of majors already and is just one major away from the career Grand Slam, he seems like at some points he's a little bit insecure. I don't really understand that from his perspective. But before we move on, because we're going to get to your guys' tip of the week in just a second here, is we talked about Rory McIlroy and Henrik Stenson, that run of five straight between the two of them, European Players of the Year. Sergio Garcia took that crown this year. If it's somebody other than those three, Charlie, to be the European Player of the Year, who would you pick?
I would say Justin Rose.
Yeah.
Justin Rose has come close. You know, he won his U.S. Open back in 2013, but he hasn't, you know, he won the Olympic gold medal, but he's proven that his, you know, his game is really, really good as long as his back can hold up. So I would say Justin Rose would be my pick, and also it's a Ryder Cup year, so these guys are going to play more because they want to make the team.
What about you, Bill?
I'm actually not going to pick one of those three. I'm going to go way outside the box here and pick a guy that intrigues me for some reason. It's that Tyrrell Hatton. Seems like when he has a chance to win, he wins. He seems like he's a hothead. Seems like he's a loose cannon. But sometimes those guys under the gun play pretty good. So I'm going to really think outside the box. And Tommy Fleetwood obviously is no longer a long shot pick, but I think he seems to be the real deal also. But he's played a lot this offseason, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects him, because he's been all over the world, that guy.
I like it, Bill, going out on a limb a little bit.
I think we're overlooking one great player in John Rahm.
There you go.
Yeah, and by the way, Phil Mickelson's brother, who's now in his bag now, will no longer be advising John Rahm anymore because it's a little bit of a conflict of interest, which I can totally understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Phil's going to take care of his brother, but John Rahm has proven that, you know, what a rookie year he had, Bill. I mean, look what this kid did with no status, and he's top five in the world, and he's won on, you know, every continent, and he's strong, and he has a good putter. So those guys are going to have a hard time beating him.
Yeah, there's just something to be said about guys that just play to win, and that's what it looks like John does. And he's another impatient player, but that doesn't bother me, guys that are impatient, because they demand a lot of themselves. So I kind of like guys that have a little fire, and he's got a lot of fire, I'd say.
He certainly does. And when we come back, guys, we'll get to your tip of the week, and also this. There is a golfer, a pretty big name out there, that missed a tournament this week, had to withdraw because he stuck his fingers between two luggage trolleys. We'll tell you who that is. You're listening to the Charlie Hips Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Hips Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Hips, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we'll get to your guys' tip of the week in just a second, but I got to give one tip of the week, guys, real quickly. And that's Louis Oosthuizen. Okay, he had to pull out of a tournament this week because he injured his fingers by getting his hand stuck in two luggage trolleys. So I'm going to give some advice to all the golfers out there. Because of all the money they have, don't pick up your own luggage anymore. Just let somebody else handle it for you. So, Charlie, that's my advice to professional golfers. Stay away from luggage trolleys, okay?
That is a great tip. That's what I do, too. But I'm not a tour player, but great tip. But my tip for 2018 is I want everybody to spend as much time they can on the putting green. Become a better putter. I mean, it's not easy to become a good putter, but if you become a good putter, your scores are going to reflect it. And then when your scores get better, your personality improves. I know it helps me a lot. I've been down here playing in this pro-am, and I'm struggling on the greens, and it's only because I don't practice enough. Get on the putting green, practice, take a couple good putting lessons, and get some fundamentals and putt and make three-footers, four-footers, five-footers, six-footers. And if you can make, you know, 90% of your six-footers 2018, you're really going to improve. So good luck with your putting.
My tip is to chart your game from 75 yards on in. So for the next 10 rounds, see what your average is. Once you get 75 yards or into the flag, you should not average more than three strokes, which is on the green and two putts. And I'll guarantee that most amateurs out there will not average three. They'll average way above three, but yet they go out on the range and try to hit those long drives. If you want to learn how to score, get good from 75 yards and in.
Great point by both of you guys. So, hey, I wanted to move on to this real quickly because I thought it'd be interesting to get your guys' take on this. So, Charlie, we'll start with you. Who's your favorite golf broadcaster right now? Or in the past, it could be somebody not calling golf anymore.
Yeah, it's got to be Jim Nance. Jim Nance, I've known since he was a freshman in college, and his ascent to being the lead announcer on CBS, not only on golf, but on football. He's great. So Jim has done a wonderful job. He respects the game. He respects the players. Sometimes he's not as controversial as people like, but Jim Nance is my number one pick.
What about you, Bill?
I'm going to go two. I love listening to Johnny Miller for the very reason that Charlie just said. He is controversial. But I think one of the most knowledgeable guys that I listen to is Frank Nabilo. I tend to think that he is very, very knowledgeable, and he disperses the information in a really, really good way.
Yeah, no, that's certainly a good one as well. Hey, Charlie, you know who I'm a big fan of? Is he's on the same broadcast as Jim Nance, is Vern Lundquist. Vern Lundquist, man, he's got a great set of pipes.
Yes, he's been very, very good at the Masters all the time. He's a gentleman, and he tells a story. Even when you're watching, he makes you really feel like you're right there, and you're involved in the play of the game. So Vern is good, and Billy, I like Frank Nabilo too. He's turned into a great announcer. He understands the game, and he sees it from a player's perspective, and Frank is good.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, have a great weekend, Bill and Charlie, and we'll see you next weekend, Charlie. You avoided the snow, all right?
Got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe and be well.